Okay, a good Devoch. So we're going to continue in Chavis Halvavis Shar Chesh Ben Nefesh. Moment. Chavis Halvavis Shar Chesh Ben Nefesh. We are in Perek Shlishi, in Chesh Ben Hatshi'i. And we just started the Chavis Halvavis's very fundamental discussion about Tefillah. So we're going to start. We're in the middle of a Chesh Ben HaTshi'i. It's like pretty much right in the middle. Okay. Lachakach Okay. So I just want to pick up from where we started last, from the point that we left with last week. So. And the Chovas HaLevavos is trying to get us into the world of tefillah. And his big agenda here is to get us to appreciate the experience of tefillah, not just as something we say, a recitation, but rather that we're really there to be putting our minds and hearts into it. And he's going to build that up. So we started last week with the technicalities, and this is what this is how we ended off last week, and I want to just repeat that. And that is that there are a lot of halachas relating to tefillah in terms of the cleanliness of your body, the cleanliness of your clothing, to be wearing presentable clothing, etc. And the point being that not to just view these things as technicalities, but to view it as we have an audience with Hashem. Tefillah is essentially an audience with Hashem, which if it were to happen once in a lifetime, the Malachim, well, it happens once in an existence. Sorry, I'll just turn off over here. Yeah, Malachim will get that opportunity once in an existence. If we would have it once in a lifetime, or even if you would have it once a year, we would make a much bigger deal about it and spend a lot of time preparing for it. But Hashem piles it on to an extent that it's almost too much to keep up with. But the opportunity to actually present ourselves to Him, well, 3 times a day. And the truth is even more than that if you choose to. You can give in your own private tefillos as well. So first of all, when you go about preparing yourself for tefillah, in terms of, like we discussed last week, go to the bathroom beforehand. Make sure to wash your hands. Make sure your body is clean. Make sure you're dressed presentably. Make sure that the area around you is appropriate, meaning that there isn't a dirty diaper in the area, etc. Not just to think of these things as halachic technicalities, but rather, I'm sorry.
It takes so much time to wash up and be presentable and be dressed, etc. And here we just want to grab a feeling.
Okay, so you know what? Here we're going to get into the halachic technicalities of it. It doesn't have to be such a big deal. Meaning, ideally, we should go all the way every single time. But if we're talking about a situation, you want to make sure that you are properly covered up, okay, dressed enough, which, if that's also challenging, then we do have to be disgusted. Okay.
But we might not be so presentable. We might not be coming outside.
Okay. That's right. So here I'm saying that there's no end to how far you could take it. We should all be able to put on a tuxedo and an evening gown before we daven to Hashem every time. That would be wonderful. Last time I wore one was on Purim when I was about 8 years old. But yeah, so that's what I'm talking very theoretically. But again, there's no end to how far it can be taken. But in basic terms, to make sure you're presentable, yes, even if it's not the way you would present yourself at the wedding, even if it's not necessarily the way you would step outside, I'm trying to not get into the halachic technicalities of it, but we're understanding it in a basic way. It should be properly covered up, that your body should be clean, your hands washed, and that the area that you're in is clean, as in there isn't a dirty diaper, there isn't a foul odor in the area where you're davening.
Not
Now,
that you have to be dressed to go to a wedding. You
right,
just
that's
have
right.
to be dressed like you would go outside. No, in other words,
In
traveling
situations,
in the morning, not in a nightgown, and not in a robe.
well, you know, if we're sticking to the basic halachic technicalities, it's permissible to daven if you're properly dressed in a nightgown as well. Okay, again,
Well, Dad,
with
I don't
that,
know.
my dani is not right. That you can do. That's not what we're calling a tefillah. I'm talking about shacharis, mincha, or ma'ariv, you know, with the Shemoneh Esrei. But again, I don't want to get caught up in the technicalities of it, right? Well, we're talking about the idea. Certainly, the more a person can make themselves presentable, there's no end to it. And that's great. But when you're going about.
Question. Right. Do you have to wear shoes or do you like you can't daven barefoot, right? What if you have socks on? Like, what's the story on that? Because my son makes a big deal about it, but I don't know the actual law.
Right. So I try to avoid getting into actual hard halacha
Oh.
in this shiur, but you know what? We'll be in touch about it. Bli
Okay.
neder.
Okay.
Okay, we'll take it up afterwards. Okay. Whatever it is, when you are taking those steps, whatever the level will be, to just make yourself presentable, think of it not just in terms of technicalities, but think of it in terms of I am stepping into a different zone right now. I'm actually connecting with Hashem. I'm stepping into a zone, stepping out of this world right now for a moment, or for a few moments for the course of this tefillah. And I'm making sure that I'm stepping into a zone and in a way that is appropriate for an encounter with the Master of the Universe. But now let's move on. Then he says as follows. Sorry, just give me a minute. And then, before you actually step forward to daven, think to yourself, El mi mechaven betfilasoi u'ma mevakesh. So this is very important. Before davening, just go through a few basic thoughts. First of all, before you open up the siddur and just start saying it, think, who am I about to daven to? What am I going to be asking for? And then number three, and then, how am I going to express what I'm going to be asking for of Hashem? I want to spend a little bit of time on this to bring out the significance of this. This is just in general, a general tip, if we'll put it this way, that they used to say in Kelm. And this is relevant for every time you make a bracha. Baruch Hashem, we make many brachas throughout the day. Brachas of all kinds of different natures. Most of them are over food, but there are many that are other brachas. So in Kelm, they said, before you make a bracha, you can really up enhance the value of your bracha many, many fold by two basic thoughts that take about 3 seconds each. First of all, who am I making this bracha to? And second of all, about what? Okay. Two basic thoughts. Very simple, but that just gives your bracha the focus that actually turns it into a real bracha. And the Chavos HaLevavos is telling us in a bit of a bigger way, this is what you want to be doing when you're davening. Number one, who am I about to encounter? And we might say that is even more important than the content of davening itself. Because davening is first and foremost the act of presenting yourself to Hashem. That's number one. What are you going to be talking to Hashem about? That's another story. But first of all, what am I doing when I'm getting up to daven? I am presenting myself to Hashem. I want to bring this out properly because we're breaking this into three parts here. Again, number one is who are you davening to? Number two, about what? And number three, how are you expressing it? So it's almost as though the Sfarim say, it's like Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach used to say, it's a very renowned Pesach, world famous Pesach, and he was very, very accessible. He used to take buses and, could sometimes see him waiting at the bus stop, etc. He was very, very accessible. You could see him walking through the street. And he used to say sometimes, when people see me in the street, and I'm sitting by myself, they think it's Baal Tashchis, if they don't find something to ask me. Right? Now, the truth is that it's actually like that. You have an opportunity to meet a very great person. The first time taking the opportunity, what am I going to talk to him about? Okay, let me try to figure that out. But first thing is, this is an opportunity that I don't want to waste. I don't have a pressing question. Okay, that's a problem. But I'll figure something out. Right? So the idea here is that this is what we're talking about with Hashem. Hashem is saying, here, I'm ready to give you, so to speak, time, a nice amount of time for a private audience, you and me. Private one-on-one, even though you know that there are many other people davening at the same time. But it's a private one-on-one, totally focused audience between you and Hashem. So first of all, you want to take advantage of that opportunity. And that's first and foremost in terms of the essence of tefillah. It's that experience of having an audience with Hashem, an encounter with Hashem. Number two is, what are you actually talking about? I'll bring that out from another angle. This is a little bit more of a lumdisha angle, if you'll indulge me. And that is that there's a shita of Reb Chaim Brisker, Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, that he read this into the Rambam, that the halacha is, and again, let's not get caught up in the halachic technicalities, but I'm trying to bring out a point, even if it's not actually halacha. But the halacha is that the first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, concentration is critical, meaning essentially, if we're talking essential halacha, you're not Yotzei Shemoneh Esrei if you didn't have kavanah in the first bracha. Now, how that works in practice is a different story. Daven, whatever the case is, and try to get in kavanah and don't get too caught up with what happens if you didn't. Okay. But now, Reb Chaim Brisker, there's a certain contradiction, seeming contradiction in the Rambam. I'm not getting into the ins and outs of it. Reb Chaim Brisker said there are this halacha actually breaks into two parts. And this is a significant stringency. This is a significant chumrah. But he said that there's two elements of davening. There's focusing on the words you're saying, which he said is the secondary part of davening. But the primary kavanah, when we talk about kavanah, it's not on the words you're saying. It's the awareness and realization that you are standing in Hashem's presence, that you're engaging Hashem. And here, Reb Chaim Brisker came with a big chiddush, and he said that is critical for all of davening. Even if you're not focusing on the words you're saying, but you have to be standing with that realization, with that consciousness that I'm stepping in Hashem's presence. That's critical for the whole Shemoneh Esrei. The first bracha, you have to also have focus on the words that you're saying. Now, thankfully, that does not seem to actually be accepted as hard halacha, because otherwise, once again, we'd have to wonder if we could ever daven Shemoneh Esrei, right? But we want to take the point that he's making, and without getting into the actual halacha, the technicality of it, and that is to appreciate that the first and foremost significance of davening is not the words that you're saying per se, but the experience of presenting yourself to Hashem and engaging Him, having an interaction with Him, having a meeting with Him, and appreciating that He, kivayochol, so to speak, is looking forward to that meeting with you. The way the Chazon Ish says it is, right? Chazal tell us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mis'aveh l'tfilos shel tzaddikim. Hashem has a desire for, He longs for the tefillah of tzaddikim. I said, when we get from tzaddikim to us. No, but the tzaddikim means us. The tzaddikim is said about all of Klal Yisrael. Tzaddikim means us. We are the tzaddikim who Hashem is longing for their tefillah. The Chazon Ish brings it out as follows. He says that when a Jew opens his mouth her mouth to talk to Hashem. It's like a beautiful harp playing in Hashem's ears, and it just attracts his attention. He's drawn to it, so to speak, kiviyochol. So we're going to come back to this in Chag HaSavuos. But first and foremost, again, when we're talking about where should your heart be in davening, is who are you dealing with? Who are you presenting yourself to? Who are you engaging? That's number one. Number two is, what are you telling him? And then number three is, what are the words you're using? And I want to bring this out also. Sometimes, I want to say this carefully. When people talk about kavanah and davening, the focus is, jumps straight to, okay, I have to really learn the meaning of all the words that I'm saying in order to concentrate properly. Now, that's true. That's very important. But the words themselves are actually the third tier. Like we said, number one is being with Hashem. Number two is, what are you asking? Now, this is actually an important tip because sometimes it becomes overwhelming to try to really understand and concentrate on every word I'm saying. So, what we might say is like this. First of all, just know what the bracha is about. Let's say we're talking in Shemoneh Esrei. Okay, let's talk in Shemoneh Esrei. You have the bracha of healing, you have the bracha of Parnasa, you have the bracha of Hashem gathering all Klal Yisrael together, you have the bracha of thought, of intelligence. So let's talk about the bracha of healing right now. Therefore, so first of all, just appreciate that in this bracha, you're asking Hashem for refuah. Whether you're asking for health or you're asking for refuah shleima for people who need it. But that's number one. Before getting into the words themselves, even if that gets too overwhelming, and even if you're going to find that, wait a minute, what does this word mean? And what does this word mean? And what does this word mean? Right now, in this coming bracha, I'm putting forward a request for health. That's all.
What about people that don't understand the davening?
So this is
Do
a
they have
great.
to daven in the language that's in English or in a language that they understand?
That's also true.
So the davening, they don't even know what they're saying. They don't know what kind of kavanah to have.
Oh, so you know what? This is actually a good etzah for that. So Baruch Hashem, there are a lot of English sidurim available today, but we would even say, even if you can't get into what exactly does each word mean, if you can just make for yourself a note, in this bracha, I am asking Hashem for good intelligence. In the next bracha, I'm asking Hashem to help me do tshuva. In the next bracha, I'm asking him to forgive me. Two separate points, yes? In the next bracha, I'm asking Hashem to note the tribulations of Klal Yisrael and help us out. The next bracha, I'm asking you for healing. The next bracha for parnasa, and so on and so forth. If you can just make for yourself a note of what is the bottom line request of each bracha, that's already a great accomplishment. That's a great accomplishment. So here, you've got the first two pieces. I'm approaching Hashem, presenting myself to Hashem, and I'm asking him for health. I'm asking him for parnasa. I'm asking you for good sense throughout the day. And then number three is the meaning of the words themselves. What I'm going to be asking him for Parnassah, what words am I going to use to express that? And here's where we come to the issue of learning the Peirush of davening, learning what all the words mean, which is again a very hush of a project. But don't let that take over to the extent that you lose sight of the experience of the interaction with Hashem and just the general theme of the brachas. I'll bring this out. It's a fine point. Reb Shimshon Pinkus used to say this, that sometimes, one important aspect of davening can distract and come at the expense of a different important part of davening, sometimes which might even be even more important. Like he said this, this is something either you connect with it or you don't. And don't fret too much if you don't get what I'm saying now, because it's something either if you have this sense, if you're on that wavelength, you'll get it. If not, don't worry about it. But he said, sometimes kavanah and davening can turn into, like, let's say again, so let's just use the bracha of refuah. Okay? Somebody needs a refuah. So sometimes you're focusing on that so much, but your whole focus of intent is on how badly you need the refuah that you forget that you're actually talking to someone. It's almost like, wow, this is, it's really a desperate situation. We really need a refuah. We really need a refuah. I wish we could have a refuah. To the extent that you forget you're actually communicating with someone with a capital S, you lose sense of a dynamic, a real interaction. Now, if you don't understand exactly what I'm saying, just forget about it. It's a fine point. It's a fine point. Just one moment. I'm just gonna finish rounding up. Just one moment. I'm just gonna finish rounding out the point. But whatever the case is, it's like we're saying. The experience of talking to Hashem, knowing what I want from him, and then studying the words I'm using to ask. I'm sorry,
Rebbetzin Shvet. What is it to have to daven only in
In Lashon Kodesh. Hashem understands all languages, and some people have it can easier do it in English. Why can't we daven in English? And the answer is you can. Actually, the halacha is that a person who doesn't know Lashon Kodesh and won't be able to connect with the tefillah is allowed to daven in English. Yes, just what? Just what? I'll bring out that there is advantage to davening in Lashon Kodesh because Lashon Kodesh is a more powerful language. That's a point that I want to that deserves elaboration. You can daven in English. And if that's going to get you a better davening, or that's what will connect you to davening, and otherwise you'll just be lost, you can daven in English. Yet it's worthwhile trying to accustom yourself to davening in Lashon Kodesh with a basic understanding of what you're saying, with a basic understanding of what you're saying, because in Lashon Kodesh, you have more than just the content. The words themselves are charged and they can cut through and get through barriers in a very powerful way. Lashon Kodesh is a live language. It carries a certain electricity to it, if we'll put it that way. Which English, again, it's the very power of the fact that you're standing and davening to Hashem is itself very powerful. With Lashon Kodesh, you have a much greater spiritual charge in the words you're saying. So therefore, just one moment. Yeah. You can daven in English, Shmoneh Esrei. You can daven in English, but like we're saying, it's worth the effort to get a basic understanding of, even if we'll just say the theme of each bracha, and to yes say it in Lashon Kodesh.
Now they have for long years, they have these interlinear ones where you have English on one side and the Lashon Kodesh on the other. That's what I always done because your eye can follow exactly what you're saying as you're saying. So those are very helpful. But I had a question for you on the davening. So let's take refuah as an example. Hashem knows, let's say one has some family member that needs a refuah, and you're davening for that family member. Hashem knows that that family member needs a refuah. Hashem knows you want that family to have a refuah. I mean, just begging Hashem and like, is your status to plead and plead and plead, or just to remind Hashem that that person needs a refuah and you want them to have a refuah? Like, does this pleading and begging and putting your whole self into how desperate the situation is, how bad he needs a refuah, is that going to help?
Okay, this is a classic age-old question that that the Sfarim have been dealing with for already 1,000 years.
Beginning, I'm
But
sorry, she said.
No, just now. Just now, beginning to.
what's that? Well, so this is a million-dollar question that has been discussed. Has been bothering the Sfarim for literally probably about 1,000 years. And to put the question, you articulated it well, and there's especially if we put it into Chavos HaLevavos perspective. I'll bring out the question even more than that. Hashem made this person sick. We believe that Hashem does everything for the best. So that means, perhaps it means that this is the best possible situation. And even more than that, If it's good for this person to get a refuah, wouldn't Hashem do it anyways? Why should my tefillis? Why should my tefillis make the refuah? Okay. So we're getting in the direction here. Or might even say more than that. If Hashem doesn't want to give this person a refuah, that means that it's not good for him. So exactly. So maybe it's not a good idea to daven. So let's appreciate it. This is what already what the Olim was saying. Of course, there's been a lot said about this. What's
Should
that?
accept.
So should we just
If
accept?
Hashem wanted it, then I guess there's no use.
Right? Maybe we should just
No, I
accept.
know that it's wrong.
They're saying this is the question. That's right.
Right.
This is the question. Perhaps we should just accept. Say this is what Hashem wants. It's good, and that's all. Move on with a fatalistic attitude. So the answer is no. Why not? So we can express the answer in a few different ways. If we'll just say it in the most straightforward way, even though this has deeper layers and levels, we'll say that yes, very often Hashem actually sets things up. Just like, for example, we know that Hashem might say, "Here, I decreed parnasa for you." Now, what happens if a person comes and says, "If Hashem decreed parnasa for me, it's going to come. I can sit back and not do anything." Right? So we say, no, Hashem decreed parnasa for you with a string attached. Hashem often does that. He attaches strings. And that is that you have to do something toward it. Hashem says, I'll put a lot of things in place, but you have to then go ahead and do something toward it. We'll say even more than that. Here's how the Chodesh HaVavah says it. He says, Hashem may have decreed that a person should have good sustenance throughout the year. What happens if the person then is sitting down at lunch and there's chicken and potatoes on the plate in front of him? The person says, listen, if Hashem wants me to be nourished, I'll be nourished. Why do I have to pick up a fork and put the chicken into my mouth? And let's say the person doesn't do that. The person sits and looks at the chicken until they starve to death. Will we say that's what Hashem decreed? No, the person will come up to Shemayim and say, and Hashem will tell him, I decreed for you to be nourished, and therefore I put that chicken on your plate. I was waiting for you to pick up the fork. That was the condition that you pick up the fork, put the chicken in your mouth, chew, and then there's still another condition. You got to swallow. If you decided to not to do that, you decided to forego what I actually decreed for you. So yes, Hashem sometimes puts in, but here it becomes even more intrinsic when we're talking about tefillah. There are things that Hashem has in store for us, but they depend on accessing it through tefillah.
That's really the question. Okay, let's take it. You need to dub, but is just asking for it enough, or do you need to actually go down begging for it? Like, what's a reasonable nishtalis in tefillah?
So here we're getting into a tough question. We'll start with the way the Gemara asks it. This is how I've heard the question expressed. At which point do you say, let's say you're davening for something, at which point do you say, okay, Hashem hasn't answered. Apparently it's not what he wants. I davened 10 times, 20 times. Where do you draw the line? Where do you say, okay, now I just have to accept? So people are shaking their heads. I mean, you're saying you never accept. And the truth is, you're right. Meaning, so the Gemara tells us, what do you do if you see that you davened and you weren't answered? The Gemara says, you ask again. What happens if you still weren't answered? You ask again. Where do we see? We see examples of this, right? Avraham Avinu, how many years was he davening for a child, etc. But you're asking more than that. You're asking what levels of intensity? How far do I go? So here, the reason that this gets tricky is because we want to avoid a problematic situation where people are going to suddenly start feeling, and I've encountered this, that anything that doesn't go right, it means that
I didn't daven.
exactly. I could have I davened only 5 times a day for it. Had I davened 7 times a day for it would have happened. And the reason it didn't happen is because Hashem was waiting for 7 times a day. And if you did daven 7 times a day, it means Hashem was waiting for eight. Or even if I did daven 8 times a day, maybe Hashem was waiting. Oh, but this also creates problems.
Yeah.
Because you say,
Maybe I didn't ask in the right way. I didn't.
maybe I should have been with so much more energy. And this becomes a big problem because it's, as we say, People can always be beating themselves
Right.
up with, had I davened more intensely, it might have happened.
Into account that you're accomplishing by trying, you're accomplishing by doing, and there's resentment that was being expressed before that has to be addressed separately.
No, we're not talking about resentment here, but we are talking about a sense of people. There has to be a combination of appreciation for the need to daven, along with that, with this area, with other areas, not just acceptance, but also the understanding that Hashem does not have endless expectation of us, meaning expectation of us, meaning it is not going to be such that. Well, because you didn't always go beyond whatever you did, maybe that's what would have done it. We daven, like all other areas of Avodas Hashem. We figure out what is a reasonable expectation for my reality. That's what Hashem wants. He wants you to be conscious of it. He wants you to put your heart into it, and that's all. That's all. If you did that, then there's such a thing as Hashem saying, your tefillah has accomplished great things, maybe not what you asked for. And here you have to be able to accept that, yes, I put in my tefillahs, I did what I could, Hashem credits me for that, and yet Hashem said, but this is not what was meant to be in this situation. So therefore, daven reasonably. That's going to be the answer. Daven reasonably, both in terms of quantity and in terms of quality, in terms of intensity. Put emotion into it. Put your heart into it. But not to be telling yourself, well, if I davened, if I said seven Pirkei Tehillim, maybe Hashem is waiting for 14. Figure out a reasonable, we would say, put your neshama into it within reason of your reality. That's what Hashem wants. That's what Hashem wants.
Something I do, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I see something not happening. Okay, it's just not happening here in court. Okay, it's not happening. So then I tend to ask, let the situation be better.
Well,
You know what I'm saying? Like,
you're
when
raising a
not.
very good point. You're raising a very good point. So first of all, we would say, no, it's not wrong. I would say it like this. Good. On the one hand, don't give up. There is such a thing as a tefillah being answered after many years, but it's a fine line because on the other hand, you have to be ready to be able to handle that at the end of the day, it was not answered. So on the one hand, Hashem is saying, you keep at it and realize that regardless of what I actually intended, I want you to keep davening for this. Even if ultimately, look at a beautiful example. Avraham Avinu is davening for Stein. And he's, so to speak, negotiating, right? 50, 45, 40, 30, 20, 10. Why didn't Hashem tell him in the first place, my dear Avraham, you're wasting your time. There isn't even one. Light will take care of, but other than that, nobody's there. Don't bother. Why didn't Hashem tell him that? Because Hashem keeps responding in the interim. What?
He wants to see them.
The answer, the fact that we see that interaction between Hashem and Avraham Avinu was Hashem showing Avraham Avinu, I'm cherishing these tefillahs. I want to hear more. Right? Hashem tells him, you have to realize that a back and forth like that between Hashem and a person is not something self-understood. You don't just have ongoing conversations with Hashem. Every time Hashem speaks to you, that's a very, very big deal. And you had to prepare yourself. You had to put yourself into a state of nevuah, which means that every time Avraham Avinu put in a tefillah, it wasn't like back forth, back forth, back forth. He put himself into a state of nevuah, and again, he got a response. Each response that he got was an unbelievable acknowledgement and reward for the tefillah he had just put in. And therefore, Hashem is basically telling him, I want these tefillos. I want these tefillos. They're accomplishing very great things. They're bringing you much closer to me. Even though at the end of the day, in terms of what Avraham Avinu was davening for, it wasn't even relevant. But yet, the tefillos were very relevant. The tefillos themselves carry much more value than what it is you're actually davening for. Whatever it is you're davening for, at most, you're talking about stakes of a human lifetime. But each tefillah that you put in, and Hashem accepts lovingly, is accomplishing things for billions of years to come. So we daven, we don't give up, and at the end of the day, we still have in the back of our minds, you put in the tefillah with full intensity and with faith that even if it's been a long time and it hasn't been answered, perhaps this tefillah will accomplish it. But yet, with the understanding that at the end of the day, this is how you might want to think of it. You put in your tefillah and you picture Hashem smiling at you and saying, "I listened intensely. I'll decide." And you say, "Good."
Sometimes he says no.
Sometimes Hashem says no. Sometimes Hashem says no. And we keep davening. In fact, we even say more than that. That's right. That's right. And we'd even say more than that. You can put it at the end of your tefillah. See, this is also a fine point. But we have to be davening with an attitude of that at the end of the day, we're leaving it up to Hashem. Because there were situations in history where a person whose tefillah was very powerful pushed in a way that Hashem said, "This is actually something I didn't want happening. But because you pushed so unequivocally, I'm going to make it happen." But that actually is not ideal.
Not most sure of being.
Oh, exactly. That's right. Which
Be quiet, stop.
oh, that's
Don't
right.
ask anymore.
So you know what? The Malbim says something scary. The Malbim says something that Moshe Rabbeinu actually had such experience. And we'll tie it up with this. But in last week's Parsha, there's a whole back and forth between Hashem and Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, "I want you to go take, go to Parah and get the Bnei Israel out of Mitzrayim." And Moshe Rabbeinu is taking time, taking the job, right? And the actually, we read it, it's back and forth and back and forth, but it was a discussion of a week, Chazal say, where Hashem is telling him, "Take it, take it, take it." And Moshe is, so to speak, resisting. How does it end? It ends by saying, "Vayichar av Hashem b'Moshe." Hashem grew angry at Moshe and told him, "Aaron will be there too. Go ahead, do it." What does it mean that Hashem grew angry at Moshe? Like Hashem lost his patience? What happened there? Why did Hashem get angry? So if you note, and the Malbim brings this out, up until that point, Moshe was not, so to speak, disagreeing, so to speak. He was saying, "But how is this supposed to work? How's that supposed to work? They're not going to believe me. How's it supposed to work if I'm a stutterer? This. But he never came and said, "Hashem, no." Right? But then at the end, he says, "Shlach no biyad tishlach," which practically speaking means, "Please have somebody else do it." That was already a change in everything he'd been saying up till now. Because he actually made a request of Hashem that went against what Hashem was expressing. Hashem is telling him, "I want you to go." And Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem, "Please send somebody else." What was the effect of that? So the Malbim says, Hashem says, "You just davened that it be somebody else. I'm accepting your tefillah. And that's actually going to compromise what I had in mind. Aaron is going to join you. And it's a shame because my intent was that you do this on your own." That's what the Malbim says. "My intent was that you do this on your own, and the effect would have been even greater. But because you davened so hard, now Aaron is going to join you." And that the Vayichar Av simply means that Hashem was displeased by the fact that, so to speak, a million times, Moshe's tefillos actually did accomplish something that Hashem, so to speak, did not want to happen.
Ever do that? Do we have to worry that if we daven really hard for something, it's going to change
So,
Hashem's mind for
probably not. We don't take that approach. But I will say that we want to put in the tefillah in a way of this is, you may even want to add in the words, Hatoyv be'enecha aseh, meaning I put in the tefillah and I say, but if that's what's right in your eyes, meaning I'm always giving that clause of Hashem, you want my input. It's almost like we're saying it that way. Hashem, I know you want me to, you're asking me to say what, give my opinion, so to speak, right? You're asking me for that. So I'm telling you what I want. But at the end of the day, I'm saying, but Hashem, you do what you consider right. In fact, many of the tefillahs we open with the words, Yirotzoin milfanecha, may be pleasing to you, meaning we're making a stipulation. I'm putting in my tefillah, but on condition that it's pleasing to you. So we want to have that in the background of our tefillahs. I'm not coming in telling Hashem, this is non-negotiable. Chas v'shalom. I think I've told said you that to you that here, that I actually heard somebody say it that way, which mamash gave me a jolt, that someone told Hashem about something that's non-negotiable. Yeah, right. Yeah, which is, I remember thinking to myself, what do you mean non-negotiable? Your heart is negotiable. But so we put it in with that kind of derech eretz. And like I said, you want to picture Hashem afterwards, because this actually reflects a certain reality. Smiling, saying, I appreciate that tefillah. I cherish that tefillah. I heard, and I'm going to decide. Okay, more to be said. Meet session next week. A good devach.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.